Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Under the Stained Glass, the podcast where we take a look at what we talked about in church this last week and then approach it again from a family angle. I'm Pastor Chris here at Magnolia Park United Methodist Church in Burbank, and I'm here with our Children, Youth, and Families Director, Ms. Whitney.
Hi, everyone.
And this week we started a brand new series called Grace, Gratitude, and Gravy, where we're looking at the book of Philippians, but from the angle of the fact that when we really understand that simple things or basic things like our very life and the love that we receive and the love that we give are gifts to us from God, We can kind of start off in the morning with a lot of gratitude, and then everything else, all the other blessings we receive just seem like gravy, which is that old expression that, you know, everything that's beyond what we might expect is gravy.
Yeah.
So looking at that idea, we were just kind of approaching Philippians, which is a really wonderful book about gratitude. And Paul is just, it's sort of like brimming over with gratitude, even though he's in prison.
Yeah, it's a great book. I love it. It's one I go back to often. But yeah, it's interesting because Paul's not in a predicament that should be filled with a lot of gratitude, or at least from a human standpoint. It's something that's very difficult. He's imprisoned. He's not in the best moments of his life, certainly. And yet, here he is, not only grateful to God for what he has done through him, but he's encouraging others to feel the same way. And to have that sort of mindset in such a rough situation is really inspiring. I think that's why I go back to it so often, is because within that context of what Paul has gone through at this point in his ministry and where he is at that moment, to have this sort of gratitude is a lot of grace from God. And it shows us, you know, where we can be and how much joy we can really have in the midst of hard times.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, like you say, Paul is in a physical location where he shouldn't have a lot of, we wouldn't think he has a lot of gratitude or should have, but he really does. And the book opens up with him thanking God for the people that he's writing to.
Right.
And particularly not just the fact that they're there, because the story is that these Philippians in this church had actually gotten together some gifts and support for Paul when they heard he was in prison. So he's grateful for that. But he's also grateful for what he understands, that their compassion for him is evidence of the Holy Spirit working in them.
Right.
So he's really grateful for the good works that are being displayed in their lives.
Yeah, he's grateful for all that God really did and used his life for. And that's really a cool thing to see, because Paul expected this to not be an easy journey. He expected pushback. I mean, he was a very wise man. So when he set out on his ministry, I mean, I'm sure he knew that there was going to be hard times coming, but he wanted God to use him in such a way to where he could bring others to Christ. And also, he could see that their lives were devoted to him, him being Christ. And so to see that, that must really make Paul feel great at this moment. To see, not great in and of himself, of course. He's being humble here when he's talking to these Philippians. But to just be so happy and encouraged by all that God has really done, that fruit that has really been bared there in those people that Paul has been able to minister to.
Yeah, sure. And he is rightfully filled with pride, the way a parent would be filled with pride at a child who's doing wonderful things outside of their own selfish, maybe, interest.
Sure.
But doing wonderful things on behalf of other people. And he is swelled with pride. He says in verse 7, "It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart." And then he says, "Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in this grace with me." So he just is including his great fortune at being used by Christ, as you're saying, used by God, and then seeing all of his spiritual descendants in this case also being used by God. So he's just really excited about what he sees for the prospects of the gospel coming out of this group. And then, of course, all the other churches that he's writing to and ministering to as well. But he's full of gratitude.
Yeah, no, it's great because, you know, we can get kind of the same way. I mean, Paul is at the beginning of the church. He's helping to build the church as we know it. And so just to see it form and to see it take hold, and especially these places he's going, which are outside of Jerusalem. It's outside of this area where Jesus actually preached. So he's watching the word expand, but really, he's so much like us every time we see somebody that we have helped bring to the faith, or we've, you know, studied with or seen in our church come in and really grow. And he's got that pride, like you said, and it's pretty amazing. And, you know, we can all share in that joy when we see someone come to Christ, even in the midst of how hard the world can be. And Paul's a great example of that. His world is very difficult at this moment. Outside of his spiritual kind of attention, his spiritual experience, his earthly life is not all that easy, and it might not be easy for us, but when we see that, yeah, we can commune together as one and recognize where God is really showing up in those moments.
And I like you say communing together, because even in the sermon, I was just, it just hit me. It was All Saints Day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the real fact is we're told in Hebrews that there is this great cloud of witnesses. Yeah. There are these people, and some of those people are people who actually influenced your faith and my faith, and then maybe others who influenced our faith that we're not even entirely sure how that happened, and we may not know until we join that great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah.
But there is that feeling that, just like Paul is rejoicing for these people in prison, there's a cloud of witnesses at another location called heaven right now, who are pulling for us every time we get on our knees to pray, every time we open our Bible, every time we sit down and talk like this.
Right.
They're rejoicing for us. And it's just important that we, and I know there are people out there right now who have children and they're doing devotions with their kids.
Right.
They may be teaching Sunday school the way you teach Sunday school or working with youth the way you do. Or in a million other ways, influencing people's faith. And we might not even know how deeply we're influencing people, but we should never give up just that realization, that that kind of hope for what the Holy Spirit is doing in other people. And maybe it's a little bit because of us.
Right, absolutely. It's not discounting those good works that God gives us, regardless of what we see has happened, regardless of what our location looks like in that moment.
Right.
Not discounting the effect that it has. And even, and especially if, but even so, being in maybe a bad situation, how much of a witness that can be. How much that can translate into a good work for God in those hard moments that we have, but we persist in our faith. We continue to be grateful and to be joyful like Paul is. What that is doing for someone else, we can't even imagine what it's doing for their faith.
Right. And they might not even know yet either. You know, sometimes we look back at a situation and say, you know, that person, you know, who was struggling so hard, but they were actually giving to others in the midst of that. That's pretty inspiring.
Yeah.
The thing about, you know, Paul's location is prison, you know, and most of us are not in prison, but, you know, where we're at in our lives, whether it's physically or emotionally or spiritually or relationally, all those things, those are locations. And what Paul teaches us here is that no matter where we are at, what's really important is where God is. And if God is with us and we're allowing that to happen, you were just talking about being in the presence, a book you're reading about being in the presence of God.
Right.
When we're enjoying the presence of God with us, then, yeah, we have an opportunity to really act with courage and with confidence, even through those hard times, and be joyful. But why don't you talk a little bit about that book? That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm reading a book. We have a monthly book club here at Magnolia Park, and we read a different Christian book or one with some sort of Christian theme in it each month. And this month we are reading The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Now, it was written in the 1600s in France, so it's been translated. But the copy we're reading is an unabridged kind of version of Brother Lawrence's story. And he's such an interesting character because though he was not particularly talented person to his own mind. You know, he thinks he's not particularly talented. I think he's incredibly talented, but he's not particularly talented. He works as he's a monk, and he works in the kitchen of the monastery that they live at. He found that to be in the practice of the presence of God brought him so much joy and so much pleasure despite where he was. He did not particularly like his job as a cook, to work in the kitchens. And, you know, he wanted to do more for God, but he found that it wasn't necessarily what he was doing, but that intention to do a good work unto the Lord and mm-hmm. to be in the presence of the Lord was enough to satisfy God. And ultimately, we know now it's been hundreds of years since he's been alive, but to move so many people to faith in God because of this simple practice, regardless of where he was, mm-hmm. of the presence of God and the Holy Spirit moving within him. And it's fantastic. I would suggest it to anybody, but it's a fantastic testament mm-hmm. to what God can do when we're in his presence, when we are practicing that gratitude and just the acknowledgement of what we can do with our works for God.
Yeah, and I mean, that's definitely comes across in the letter here from Paul.
Yeah.
Again, that he's in this situation that most of us would really get us down a lot.
Right.
But he is so in the presence of God, and he is so outside himself. I mean, mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit is able to continue to work in him.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what the book you're reading and Absolutely. Where you're coming from right now is, it, you know, that kind of attitude uh-huh. where we're really acknowledging that God is with us and the grace of God is giving us all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
That puts us in a mindset of gratitude. And then we're really open
right.
To being able to let the Holy Spirit work through us.
Yeah.
And enjoy life in a different kind of way.
Right.
Instead of expecting a lot of stuff, you know,
yeah.
kind of more enjoying the gravy. You know,
yeah.
That everything really is gravy after that.
Right. When it starts with God and our satisfaction comes from him,
mm-hmm.
not from everything else around us, everything else is going to seem, though it might not be easy, it'll seem a lot simpler to get through or mm-hmm. to do. I mean, there's a lot of things we can't do on our own, but once we let God into those moments,
yeah.
it just becomes his work. That it might be our hands doing it, but it's his work. And so we can kind of lean into him in that moment. And that's the part of it that's so vital to us. It's not about what he gives you, you know, that makes you comfortable, but it's about what he gives you inside of you that can pull you through even like the hardest times that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat.
Yeah, yeah, it's that power. I mean, you know, we can kind of have a good attitude and we can generate that.
Yeah.
We can kind of put a smile on our face and
right.
stuff. But the power that we can generate on our own is usually not enough when life really gets tough.
That's true.
And that's when we just need to turn to God, realize that he is with us and yeah. he is giving us by his grace our life and the love from him.
Right.
And then we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do, as you're saying, step at a time.
Yeah.
Not only just get through, but
right.
get through with some real courage and some real confidence that might even be inspiring to somebody else.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
So Psalm 136 says, in the very beginning, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Mm-hmm.
His love endures forever.
Yeah.
And I just think that I want to leave you all with this, that if we can begin our day with that as our baseline
right.
of gratitude, then we're really kind of setting ourselves up to have a day that's full of blessings and everything else that comes. And even the hard stuff, which we're going to talk about this week, but even in the suffering, that can also become a blessing because it draws us nearer to Christ.
Yep, amen to that.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for being here today. And if you're in the Burbank area, please come and worship with us at 10:30 here at Magnolia Park, the United Methodist Church. Otherwise, you can worship with us online just by following the link on the description of this podcast. Please press subscribe if you like what you hear. And we'll be with you again next week.
Bye.